Latest news, breaking stories,
expert analysis.
All you need to know in 60 minutes.
This is the Midday Report.
As we've been saying, we are very much in the swing of elections at the moment. Various political parties launching election manifestos over the past week. The EFF and DA both launching their manifestos over the weekend. The ANC will do so later today. So yesterday, EFF leader Julius Malema launching his party's election manifesto, vowing to build RDP houses next to affluent areas of Sandton and other parts of the country too, where there are flourishing upmarket houses, and also promising heavy tax rebates to small businesses that were prepared to revive defunct factories and create job opportunities for unemployed people. So he was speaking there at the launch of the election manifesto, also at celebrations to mark what would have been the 85th birthday of late struggle icon Winnie Madikizela Mandela at Gandhi Square. And they've also renamed the EFF's headquarters after Madikizela Mandela. So have a listen to what Julius Malema had to say yesterday.
Our manifesto is based on truthful observation that our people do not have access to sanitation and proper toilets. Children in rural South Africa continue to fall to their death in pit toilets. It is on this basis that we make a clarion call here on the 26th of September 2021 that we want our land and jobs mining.
Just a short snippet there of what Julius Malema was saying yesterday. DA leader John Steenhuisen also launching the DA's election manifesto, saying there were too many municipalities under administration, also bragging about the DA-run municipalities as well. Have a listen to what he had to say.
Ours is a country where the biggest employers in town have to beg their local government for years to improve the provision of clean water or to maintain the road and infrastructure so the business can remain viable. And when this doesn't happen, and when these businesses and factories eventually have to close down or relocate elsewhere, these very same local governments turn around and beg them to stay. We all know the story of the clover factory in Lichtenburg that made the news headlines. But that same scenario is playing out in dozens of other towns, in most provinces, where the failure of local government to do the very basics of their job has hounded businesses out of the town and left thousands of our people jobless.
And then also President Cyril Ramaphosa yesterday on the podium in Parktown giving a preview of the ANC's local government election manifesto and the ANC's election candidates. That's happening later today. Have a listen to what he had to say yesterday.
I'd like you to tell our people that you will work with them and you will work with them to find lasting solutions to the problems that they may have. We instruct you to be the embodiment, you seated here and the nearly 10,000 candidates that we are fielding, that you should be the embodiment of ethical servant leadership, that you should be the ones who are going to fight against corruption, stand up against corruption and mismanagement, and continuously improve the functioning of local government. And that you should be the best councillors our nation has ever seen.
Ramaphosa there touting the party's young candidates and promising they would learn from the ANC's mistakes. So let's get some analysis on all of this now with Xolani Dube, political analyst at the Zubera Institute for Research and Development. Xolani, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time today. Always big promises when it comes to election manifestos. As the electorate, if we are deciding who to vote for, what should we be looking out for at during these election manifestos? And how do we sift the promises from the reality?
Look, as I've often said, this is the season of Santa Claus who come to our homes with bottomless bags of invisible gifts, you know. And we've seen this for the past 27 years, where they give us promises. And then we know that those are empty promises that never get fulfilled. And so the answer that we have to ask ourselves, really, is this system that you keep on promising us a better life, worth for us to keep on trusting it? Or are we not supposed to review all the systems and structures that we adopted post-1994?
So one of the issues that we're starting to see is around voter apathy from the polls that have been done, people not knowing who to vote for. So this is the time when political parties can start convincing them. Why is it important for people to actually vote? And what advice do you have for these people who just don't find any political party resonating with them?
Look, first of all, those who don't vote, I think they are voting, you know, to say they are not happy with what is happening in our country. This is another way of voting. But the fact of the matter is, you vote or you don't vote, at the end of the day, you get governed. And so we are in a serious dilemma here, because regardless, we are going to be governed, and people who are going to govern us are those people who keep on making these false or empty promises.
So then what happens over the next few weeks in the run-up to the 1st of November? We're going to see a lot more promises. We're going to see a lot more occupying of airtime and our news feeds and newspaper columns. So what is the point of all of this? And as the electorate, what should we be looking out for?
I think the most important thing is we need to revive community dialogues. We need to revive community involvement in our own development in our communities, you know, because at the end of the day, if you really observe, for example, what happened during the July unrest, the people were at the forefront, the people who tried to revive their areas were the communities. And so I think the communities, as I said, need to rethink and really have another way of governing themselves, away from the systems that were imposed to us in 1994. Because if communities can govern themselves, they know exactly what they want, and they are not there for salaries, but they are there to safeguard the future of the next generation. And so if you find a councillor is an employment, but for a community leader, it's not an employment, it's about a calling that is he or she supposed to fulfill in order to insulate his child or her child from poverty or any other thing that might be adversary to the well-being of his or her own child.
Xolani, thank you so much. Xolani Dube, political analyst at the Zubera Institute for Research and Development. Yep, it's like Santa Claus coming with a bottomless bag of gifts. Lots of promises during these election manifesto launches from the various political parties. How do we hold them to account? And I think there are a lot of people at the moment who just don't have a political party that resonates with them. And what Xolani was saying there was that not voting is voting too. I'm not sure I agree with that. I always think it's important to actually go and exercise your vote and cast your ballot, but it's so tricky for people to decide on who to vote for at the moment.